Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon, guys, how you doing?
We are doing good.
Looking forward to it.
I don't want to speak for Doug, but I am doing good. Are you doing well?
I'm doing well.
Doing good.
Everyone's good.
You know, and it's glad that you know, I was just saying before, it's got to be, I don't even know if fans think about this, but when you're a broadcaster, you develop a relationship with the team. Right, it doesn't even matter if you grew up rooting for them. You develop a relationship with a team. Obviously, you guys had it, and you've been doing it a long time. So it hurts you, just like it does the fans, when the team loses. And from your standpoint, it stinks calling loss after loss, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of optimism right now. Obviously, they got to get it done on the field, not just on paper. But it's tough dealing with those losses from your standpoint, isn't it?
Yeah, you know when it's really tough, and I think it's sad. It is for me. When it's December and they are 0 and whatever,
yeah,
what they were last year, and that stadium is 30,000.
Yeah.
You know, it's really empty. And that to me is really sad. I mean, that's
depressing.
But yeah, because I remember when I first came to town, I mean, it was packed. I mean, every Sunday afternoon, it was just packed. And as dumpy as the stadium was, it really had a neat look to it. When it was full, it was when it was empty and the Indians were playing in it, it was dumpy. Okay?
Yeah.
But when it was full, it had a real kind of majestic look to it. But I find that to be, I mean, I can't wait for the day when it's packed,
yeah,
you know, in December and they're in a big game.
And playing meaningful games.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's
playing a big game.
You know, you, in the old stadium, you used to broadcast from the roof. And the crowd was such that the roof would vibrate, and it was a different experience then than what we have now.
Yeah.
Does it feel different to you guys this year than it has over the past couple of years? I mean, 1-31 we're talking about here,
right,
and how bad it's been. But, like, even – I'm sure last year at some point we were, like, optimistic about, you know, DeShone Kizer or,
yeah,
you know, what. It's like every year we're hopeful.
Well, when he beat New Orleans – in that opening preseason, yeah, game, I mean, you know, I was ready to put a gold jacket on him. I mean, I really was. I was going to present him. I was,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
hopeful that he would invite me.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dustin, there aren't many Cinderella stories at quarterback in the NFL. You know, I think you really do have to learn the position. Now, there have been a few. I mean, you know, Carson Wentz certainly fits in there. Prescott had a really good first year.
Mm-hmm.
He fits in there. But for the most part, especially when you don't have the team around you, it's really difficult. So I think when we went into the regular season last year, it was a little frightening to,
yeah,
see what they had in that quarterback room and, more importantly, what they didn't have.
Well, like the old TV show, Curb Your Enthusiasm is what it was because, you know, yeah, when you win 4 preseason games, then all of a sudden you look and you see what those Detroit Lions that went 0-16,
right,
they were 4-0 in the preseason,
right,
too. And it gives you a dose of reality because, you know, in preseason, you know, nobody's really game planning. Nobody's, you know, you're just running guys to evaluate the talent out there. And it's sometimes it's a tough read.
You know, I think that Friday afternoon when they made the 3 trades.
Right.
You know, and they got Landry, they got Taylor, they got Randall. I was really worried because free agency was opening up the beginning of the next week. And I thought the 0-16 was going to be a real problem. No matter how much money they had, I thought guys would say, remember they had the safety, what was it, Richardson, the kid from Arizona that went to Baltimore. He signed with the Ravens.
Yeah.
But remember, the Browns had given him a higher contract,
right,
offer, and he went, you know,
oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to go there because of the lack of winning. So I was a little bit worried about that. But when John Dorsey was able to get Taylor, Landry, Randall, I thought maybe things had started to, you know, break a little bit.
I think back to the year Brian Hoyer had this team 7-4, they beat the Bengals. They beat them up, like, it was like 23-6.
Yeah, Thursday night.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember coming on the air that Friday, and I said, and I tend to be a little, I don't want to say negative, but I'm skeptical of, like, excited. And I came on the air that Friday and said, Dustin, the Browns are going to the playoffs.
I remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they've won, like, what, 3 games, 4 games since then? I mean, yeah. It's really hard to believe.
I think it's crazy. I think you're onto something,
yeah,
there. Yeah, I think you're right.
But
yeah,
that shows to your point, Jim, what you talked about, the stadium and what this city can be like if the Browns are good when it matters at the end of the year.
Yeah, at the end of that game, that was down at Paul Brown Stadium, I can remember there were Browns fans that, you know, stayed till the end of the game because the Browns kind of blew them out. Mm-hmm. And I remember the Browns players coming out of the locker room and doing like a ring, a lap, a victory lap, you know, around shaking hands with the fans. And I kind of went, wow, this is what this is going to be like. And this is only a taste of it because this was on the road.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they played the Texans and they got hammered the next game and it started to go down into the valley again.
Well, I got to do the Kozar era before, you know, Jim and I started doing it. And that was, you know, fun because you go and think, when I first came to the Browns, we made the playoffs the first couple years, and then all of a sudden you hit the, you know, we had one of those seasons, we started out 0-9, and it wasn't until 1980 that we got back in the playoffs, and then 82 again. But then when Kozar came in, and all of a sudden you're going to the AFC Championship game, it's a different world. It's, I mean, there's songs about everybody that, you know, even cuts the grass and things like that. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the team leaves and they come back and they've really never got their shoes on to make a run at it.
You know, when in those years, when the season started, when you were in training camp, you never questioned that they were going to make the playoffs.
Right.
You were just wondering, were they going to have a home game in the opening round of the playoffs? Were they going to be the number one seed in the AFC? Were they going to be a division champion? You know, I mean, that's the way it was. You really took it for granted.
Guys, do want to get your thoughts on the big news of the day, which is Corey Coleman being traded for nothing, basically letting him go. How many first-round picks have we seen over the last 5 years, 6 years, that have just aren't even on the team anymore?
Isn't there a
I think it's seven
eight,
or eight.
Eight first-round picks from 2012, 2016. None are on the team anymore.
And here's another one who's in his third year, and now he's gone.
Yeah. Right. I thought, Dustin, I think there's an equation. I thought that this is the byproduct of a general manager coming in, and there were still 4 or 5 weeks left to go in last season. So I think he got a pretty good look at what he had. You know, you got to look at him in games. You got to look at him in practice. You got to look at him in the locker room.
I think that locker room is key here.
And I don't think necessarily it was the drop pass in Pittsburgh. It didn't help, of course. But I think it was everything else. So I really thought that they were going to move him. I thought there were a couple of points that they may move him anyway, right? Mm-hmm. You know, before free agency started. Maybe during the draft they might get a package deal. But then I think this part of the equation, I think inside they know they're going to get Josh Gordon back. Mm-hmm. I really do. And then I think they really like the kid Callaway.
Yeah, I think they like Callaway. But I think, you know, a lot of it goes with attitude. What kind of attitude, you know, he brings into the locker room. And when you got a guy that, you know, has to have one of the equipment men wear his shoes around to break him in, that's too much of a prima donna.
Yeah.
I mean,
you have a guy who's accomplished nothing.
You haven't earned that right.
Right. It's a good point. And you know, the more that guys that have been here, you know, before this year, the more of those guys you get rid of. I mean, something to be said, there's been a losing culture here. And ultimately, if you have the talent and you start winning, that's going to turn it around. But part of the reason you're able to overcome an 0-16 and move on is that a lot of those guys are gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And I do believe, you know, that row last year of Sammy Coates and, you know, people like that.
Kenny Britt.
I mean, Dwayne Bowe before that. I mean, that was a
guys that were just collecting checks.
And you would look at guys, and then Coleman, you know, he quickly jumped into that. But you would look at guys like, you know, Higgins and Lewis and those guys, and you know, they're sitting around them, and you just wonder, you know, is that you know, landing on their laps that all of a sudden they're going, well, maybe this is the way you do it, and it's not the way you do it. Right?
And you wonder, too, if a Jarvis Landry had been here when Coleman first got here instead of the Kenny Britts and the Dwayne Bowes.
Right.
You know, because he is such a, you know, great, you know, an influence on all these young players.
Or even Josh Gordon, guys, let's be fair. I mean, we hope we get him back. We can't rely on him. He has not been a good influence. He's often not worked hard in practice. You know, he has tremendous talent. He's probably physically more gifted than even Jarvis Landry.
I agree.
But he hasn't we can't, you know, he's got – I agree with you, Jim. I think there's a sense that he is going to be back. But even when he does come back, we're still worried, is he going to go away again?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The only reason I say that is because I would have thought they would have brought somebody in by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there must be something to that they must really believe that he's on his way back.
I'm just surprised they haven't brought another body in.
Well, that, yeah.
Just,
that's,
just
that's,
so that Jarvis that's... Landry and the starters don't have to take all these reps out there. My goodness.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're going to have to pry Jarvis Landry off the field. That guy just loves to practice.
He's a maniac.
Oh.
It's something that we haven't had here in a long time.
No.
It's like a guy who wants to be here makes a lot of money, and he's really good.
A pro.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Something new. Maybe that's why we didn't win any games last year.
And, you know, the other thing, Dustin, is you get the impression maybe that that kind of guy, when a game is kind of hanging there for you to win it or lose it,
sure. Yeah.
That kind of guy is going to make the play
yeah.
that he made here the other day. You know,
yeah,
the great one-handed catch, and he takes it into the end zone. And they have not had that guy.
No.
Just in football terms, they have not had that guy.
Right.
And, of course, Gordon hasn't played enough. He
right.
could be that guy.
He certainly could. I mean, you think about it. He's the most accomplished free agent signing. They traded for him. But the most accomplished acquisition they've made in – I can't even think of a guy who would be more accomplished than him. At the time they've acquired, I mean,
it's amazing when you have football people running a football team. How well you do?
It helps. It certainly helps.
I remember the year they drafted Coleman. We were doing the show up in the thing, and they asked me, "Who do you think we're going to get?" I said, "Corey Coleman." So the next day, Sashi walks by and says, "Hey, you had our draft pick." I said, "Yeah, I did my analytics. I just said we were a slow team, and I picked the fastest guy." You know, but that's kind of how they were doing it,
well,
too.
I can remember that night when they made the pick. They were thrilled. I remember Hugh Jackson using a really different kind of way of talking about an explosive player. He said, "This guy is going to score the football."
Yeah.
And he just kept saying, "He's going to score the football."
Mm-hmm.
And it, other than the home opener against the Ravens that one year where he had the two quick touchdowns, it just never happened.
Nope. He just didn't score the football enough.
He couldn't stay on the field. And he couldn't stay on the field.
Definitely did not
either.
Score the yeah. football.
He didn't score
it. He had trouble catching it at times,
yeah.
too.
And coming from an offense in college where they really didn't have a lot of routes and things
yeah.
like that, I mean, that's when you really got to earn your right
let's,
to be on the team.
Let's learn our lesson here a little bit. Like, let's look at some of those offenses and say, hey,
right. Yeah.
In terms of who
right.
we look at going
yeah.
forward and
yeah.
things like that.
You.
But,
yeah.
hey, guys, obviously Thursday night, preseason game number one, Tyrod Taylor is going to get a series or two or whatever, but the story is going to be the backup quarterback and, you know, how many reps Baker Mayfield gets. What are you guys' impressions of Baker so far?
Well, I think he's looked good. I mean, I think he really looks ready. I mean, he looks ready daily of what they're trying to do. He never looks totally lost out there. I think it's been fun watching him. He plays very dramatically. He plays very fast. Whereas Taylor kind of glides into things sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's just a demonstrative way he plays. I'm really excited to see him play. You know, Dustin, here's the thing about him, though. When they hand him the keys on Thursday night to go out and run, I don't think he's in awe of anything.
No.
I know.
No.
I mean, this is a guy that's played in the biggest of the bigs.
We saw that Rose Bowl last year.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
I mean,
a pretty
you know,
big game.
Yeah, that's a big game, you know. I remember when he won a big game, kind of his launching game. Remember he went down into Tennessee that Saturday yeah. night game? He won a big game down there. That's over 100,000 down there. So
pretty big game in Columbus, too.
Yeah, right. I think he thrives on this. So yeah. I would think that he'll play well. I think he's going
to
play well.
And I think it goes back to what we were talking about, you know, having football people running it. You know, when you sign the free agents of Britt and Bo and they just don't turn out, then you get a Manziel, those people did.
Yeah.
That doesn't turn out. But all of a sudden you see this kid, and he's totally the opposite of what Manziel was.
You mentioned I agree with you. Yeah. You see Manziel Friday night?
Yeah.
Four picks?
Yeah.
Oh, what a disaster.
Wow.
No, you're right. And you and I were talking about it off the air, Deke. I mean, he's a total – the only thing similar between the two is that they're short.
Yeah.
For quarterbacks, you know. But his – when we saw Manziel on the field, he was frail, guys. Like, his
yeah.
he was thin. He didn't have a quarter body. Baker Mayfield, outside of his actual height – the rest of his body is built like a quarterback. He's
yeah.
got a sturdy lower body. He's a thick kid. You know, yeah. not fat, but he's
put together.
He's put together
yeah,
nicely
put together,
for a quarterback.
Right, yeah.
yeah.
You know, Manziel, I think, lived on his famous game, of course, was that win at Alabama, right?
Yeah.
In Tuscaloosa.
Sure.
And, I mean, you know, he ran around, you know, like a chicken with his head cut
right.
off that day. And he made incredible plays. He really did. I mean, who goes down there and beats them in there? And he did that. And I think that if you – I remember the Tennessee game when he started and he won and he hit Benjamin on a couple of big long plays. He thrived on that broken play,
yeah, yeah.
you know, rolling around and then getting back in and setting himself and throwing. But anything that I think was detailed or according to format or in the playbook, I think he struggled with.
No doubt.
I just don't think he prepared.
No.
No, he relied on his scrambling to get
oh,
to make
yeah.
the play where I think, you know, with Mayfield, he looks for the windows to throw it through.
We spoke earlier with Diana Racina from ESPN, and she was talking with Todd Haley earlier today, and it seems like Todd Haley is like, pump the brakes on Baker. This is Tyrod's team. You guys believe that?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think two things. I think that I think they're really committed to the plan. I think they put the plan in place even before they drafted him, or at least before they handed in the card, that that's what they were going to do, whether it was him or Darnold or whoever. But it was him, and I think that they were definitely, you know, committed to that plan. And then I don't think that Taylor has done anything that would have you worried so far about the way he played. I mean, unlike Osweiler.
Sure, like, yeah.
That was a mess.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
was just
big
a mess.
Difference. Yeah. Big difference.
Now, what were we, minus 28 in the giveaway takeaway last year? Yeah, I mean, yeah. those things just kill you. But, no, I think, you know, the plan is right. You know, here's a young guy. Let him sit and watch. And I think, you know, having Drew Stanton is going to help, too, because I yeah. think last year they really killed Kaiser when they didn't keep Josh McCown around.
Yeah. We're talking with Doug Deacon, Jim Donovan, the voices of the Browns on the Browns Radio Network right here on The Fan. Guys, and Deke, this one's right up your alley, especially Joel Bitonio, as a former offensive lineman, moving from left guard to left tackle. You know, he said all along he doesn't yeah. really want to move, but obviously he's a great guy, he's a great team guy, so he's going to do what the team asked him to do. Your thoughts on the move and how he's looked so far?
Well, I'm glad if they were going to make the move, they made it now, so they yeah. can get accustomed to playing with one another. It also gives them another one of the draft picks in the starting lineup.
Right, true.
You look at Joel; he doesn't have the typical left tackle body. You know, he's a big barrel-chested guy. When you see, remember Joe Thomas, kind of, you know, symmetrical.
Svelte.
Up and, svelte. Yeah, real svelte now. But, you know, he's got good feet. And, you know, I think at that position, you know, it's your feet, your hands, and being able to know the angles. Because, you know, if you give the guy three different ways to go, you're going to have a tough afternoon. But if you can make him one-dimensional, then you've got a chance.
You know, I just think, too, there was a plan there. I mean, I think they gave Coleman a shot. I give them a lot of credit that they gave him a shot, but when there's something they didn't see, they didn't
right.
like, they make the move.
That's it.
You know, they didn't like Coleman, they made the move. But here's the thing. I mean, they drafted Corbett 33rd overall.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
you
the
want
first,
to play.
You got to play.
Yeah.
They were 0-16. He's got to play.
Yeah.
If you're going to sit Mayfield, you know, you're going to play Ward, obviously. You're going to play Chubb. The number 33 pick on an offensive line should be able to play.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the fact that he played left tackle in Nevada kind of led everybody to think that's where he was going to be. But I think if you look at his body, he's more of an inside guy.
All right, let's talk a little defense. Obviously, it's got to be better than it was last year. You've revamped the secondary, and I know both you guys, we've done the TV stuff together, have been high on Ogba and Garrett and the pass rush that these guys are going to bring.
Well, I think, you know, the fact last year they went from, what, 31st against the run to 14th, they made great strides. The one thing they didn't get was the takeaways, but for the most part, we were always playing from behind, so other teams didn't have to throw the ball that much. But I think, you know, the fact that they've added some speed in the secondary, you know, they've got good depth at the linebacker position now. I mean, it's going to be tough cuts on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you look at there's going to be some guys that can play elsewhere.
You know, Garrett seems to be running around very, very pain-free.
Yeah.
You know, he just looks really – he looks totally different than he did last year, I think. I mean, I think he was hurt all year. I think coming back into training camp, I don't think he was 100%. So, and then that played itself out before the Steeler game. But the other thing is they have a secondary. I mean,
yep.
they just couldn't cover at all. I mean, you know, they just – you know, you just couldn't count on them. Third down just became –
Yeah,
it just became catch. Yeah, it became a, you know, a formality that they yeah pitch and catch. It really was.
It almost seemed like it didn't matter. I could just picture you making the call, Jim. Like it's 3rd and 12, and again a first down. Right? It felt like it didn't even matter. 3rd and 20,
first down.
Yeah, Denzel Ward's got a ton of potential. He's a rookie, so until he plays, we don't know how good he's going to be. You never know, right? But everything we've heard about this guy is great, and they need that, right? Joe Hayden at his best. Was a tremendous corner.
He was
a Pro Bowl
yeah,
corner, and we haven't had a player at that position, and you hope Ward can be that guy.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess, you know, everybody remember wanted Bradley Chubb, right? I mean, everybody thought,
which
hey,
would have been great, too.
Yeah, yeah. But there was such a glaring need in the secondary yeah. that, you bring this kid in. You know, he really, athletically, I think he's just phenomenal what he can do.
No doubt.
But, you know, go back to, you know, the formality of third down. In that Green Bay game that they should have won, okay, once the Packers in the second half said, hey, listen, let's just take what they're giving us, right, which was a lot.
Yeah.
They got right back into the game. Yeah. That 14-point deficit was gone.
2 seconds.
Yeah, boom. Yeah. You know, I mean, but I think the secondary will help them a great deal.
Well, when you talk to Joe Hayden, you know, he made a reputation against A.J. Green, and, you know, we've got two good receivers in this our division, the other one being Antonio Brown, and Joe didn't have a lot of success against him. Not many people do. Yeah. But I think, you know, to have this kid's speed and quickness, you know, it'll be an interesting matchup.
We just need no more Doug Deacon moans this year.
Oh, please, yeah.
they become like we just cut them up and play them on the air.
I mean, you could just – and, you know, you're a broadcaster, but you're also a fan.
I know
everybody sitting at home is feeling the same way.
Those moans express the frustration of an entire fan base.
All right, there was the greatest one, though, was the year that Butch Davis was here and the year they opened up against Kansas City, okay, and Holcomb played in that game because Couch was hurt, or he had beaten Couch out. And it was an incredible game, back and forth, remember? Really high scoring. And the Browns have won the game.
Yeah.
And Dwayne Rudd throws his helmet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Oh, right.
But
I
did not see Dwayne Rudd throw his helmet because there was a big offensive lineman, John Tate was his name.
Yeah.
And he had picked up the ball and he was running. So I'm saying, all I got to do is get him out of bounds and it's all over. And Doug goes, oh! And I go, what? Dwayne Rudd threw his helmet. They got the penalty, down, and they kicked the field goal. That was the worst.
That just wraps up an entire decade, right, of football. Guys, I'm hoping for a lot of wins for you.
Yeah.
You've suffered with the fan base. You've suffered.
For everybody.
And now let's get some wins and excitement. Thanks for joining us.
It was our pleasure.
Jim Donovan, thanks. Doug Deacon, great to chat with them as always.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.